Almighty God, on this day you opened the way of eternal life to every race and nation by the promised gift of your Holy Spirit. Shed abroad this gift throughout the world by the preaching of the gospel, that it may reach to the ends of the earth through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. So, a couple of weeks ago, I went down to Millville to join a congratulatory parade for Scott Carr, who is a member of St. Thomas and who graduated from seminary this semester. Although Scott has had jobs before and indeed has worked his way through seminary, through graduate school, now Scott is looking to begin his career in earnest. Unfortunately, the pandemic prevented Scott from celebrating and acknowledging this momentous milestone in the way that he was surely expecting to do. But the milestone occurred anyway, and Scott's life has been changed. This week, I joined another congratulatory parade. It ballooned up a lot bigger than I expected. And so along with a number of others, we went and made a parade for Jimmy McCarthy, another member of St. Thomas. Jimmy had just worked on Friday, his last day for the United States Postal Service. After more than 34 years of faithful service, he was completing his career. But again, the pandemic prevented Jimmy from celebrating and acknowledging this momentous milestone in the way that he was surely expecting to do. But the milestone occurred anyway, and Jimmy's life has been forever changed. As a Christian church, we are all about transformation. And the Feast of Pentecost, which we celebrate today, is all about when that transformation happens to us. That's what is represented in the stained glass window that is at the very center of our chancel above the altar with that dove descending, just like on the chasuble that's for the Pentecost season. Whereas in Advent and Christmas and Epiphany and Lent and Easter, they all tell the story of something very important that happened long ago. Pentecost, on the other hand, tells the story of now, how those past events continue to inform and to shape the present. Pentecost is the Bible's account of that transformative moment that happens to each of us at baptism, when God's Holy Spirit is poured out upon every single one of us and our lives are forever changed. Now, when those first disciples of Jesus experienced Pentecost, it came with a violent wind and with fire, a hurricane and an inferno. It came in the aftermath of the most difficult Lent ever, when all their hopes and beliefs and expectations had been shredded, leaving behind nothing but chaos and fear, rowdy crowds, and wreckage. The crucifixion was a shock. It was utterly unintelligible to the disciples. It made no sense. It broke down their very understanding of reality and left them adrift. And yet, it was precisely on top of that chaos and wreckage that the disciples were finally ready, finally receptive for God to do something new in them. And so, like God creating the world out of the chaos of the waters, like God forging the Israelites into a new nation in the barrenness of those 40 years in the desert, like a new building rising up on a construction site that was first cleared and then leveled so that a foundation could be poured and a sturdy edifice built. That's what happened to the disciples. That's how they were prepared finally to receive the Holy Spirit. And so when Pentecost comes to us, when we experience the coming of the Holy Spirit, and this happens, God willing, over and over throughout our lives, but when that happens, we should not be surprised if we find that we are the most receptive, the most ready to see and hear and notice God at work during those times of chaos and wreckage and pain in our lives. That's exactly what Jesus told us, didn't he? He said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick." It is those who know themselves as lost who are ready to be found. Those times when we have either let go or more often had wrested out of our grasp those comforts and conveniences and assurances that we rely on for a sense of well-being. When instead we are suffering loss or heartache or fear. When we are dealing with rejection or self-doubt or financial catastrophe. When we are mourning a death or reeling from the loss of a job or struggling with addiction, those are often the times when we are most likely to let go of what has come before and to be ready to see the Holy Spirit come down and to speak a new creative word into our lives. A violent wind and fire are often the precursors, the signs, the reminders that God is at work. Often it is precisely then that our lives will be transformed and we will be forever changed. This is a common theme of the gospel message. Jesus Christ, honestly encountered, always brings change into our lives. And we resist that change because it's painful. Change hurts. We make our peace with how things are and we get stuck there making the best of whatever situation we're in because we are often afraid that change would only be even more uncomfortable. Very often we, and when I say we here, I mean I, very often we resist the gospel of Jesus Christ because we have no idea about the promises of God. No idea about how much better God wants our lives to be, and we are only afraid that things could get worse. And so it takes a special pain, an especially violent wind, to knock down us, to completely knock us down and make us turn loose our grip on what we had before, to empty our hands to be ready to receive the new thing that God wants to do in our lives. And so COVID-19 is a great example of this, right? A violent wind, a fire that nobody wanted, that has consumed 370,000 lives around the world, 102,000 of those in the United States, with the numbers still rising, and more than a tenth of that U.S. total right here in New Jersey. Many people, many politicians want to bury their heads in the sand and deny that anything is happening and, you know, get back to normal. And I'll note, in fact, that the news this week did indeed take us back to normal, pausing in its breathless coverage of the coronavirus to remind us of what normal looks like in the United States. Normal looks like Christian Cooper being threatened with violence for the crime of birdwatching while black in Central Park. Normal looks like Ahmaud Arbery hunted down for jogging while black in Georgia. Normal looks like Breonna Taylor shot 8 times in the middle of the night in her own home in Kentucky. And normal looks like George Floyd being murdered in broad daylight on a sidewalk in Minnesota. And so after weeks of low-grade anxiety from news about the coronavirus, Hearing this week's stories felt like a punch to the gut. Yeah, this is what passes for normal for us. Sleeping or waking, night or day, America's original sin keeps on bearing fruit. It's the gift that keeps on giving. Friends, I do not want to go back to normal. And Pentecost is all about leaving behind normal. It's about leaving behind what you knew and clung to before. It's about leaving behind a life shaped by death and scarcity and division and fear. It's about leaving behind insults and blaming, violence and contempt. It's about leaving behind a life subject to the principalities and powers and the Caesars of our world. It's about rejecting an ethic that would value reopening the economy above the lives of the elderly. It's about rejecting the blasphemous, satanic narrative that certain people are more dangerous or less deserving than others. It's about acknowledging our complicity in systems of injustice and inequity, systems that we had learned to ignore because the ways they privileged us came to seem normal. It's about rejecting systems whose fundamental lack of fairness was made glaringly obvious once again, as the data has come streaming in about the wildly disproportionate effects of COVID-19 on people of color. Not for any genetic predisposition, but due to the comprehensive, long-standing circumstances of discrimination and oppression. Friends, we gather as church in order to leave behind the normal and to become a new kind of people. In Pentecost, God actively, spectacularly knocked down the barriers that separated people from one another, including differences based on ethnicity and national origin and language and social status. And so we come to church not to be with people just like us, but precisely because it is here at church that we will encounter the broader diversity of God's creative work in one another. And then together, we work out our spiritual muscles in worship and prayer, study and service and fellowship. Because we are training. We are training for life in the kingdom of God. We are training our reflexes. We are building muscle memory so that when we encounter evil in the world, when we encounter that which is not of the kingdom of God, we'll know what to do and have the capacity, the strength, the courage to do it. Disciples of Jesus Christ are those who are looking to subvert the normal, to leave it behind, to not be satisfied with it, but instead working to bring a new reality into being through word and deed, and sometimes, maybe often like Jesus, through suffering for others. Pentecost. Pentecost begins with a violent wind and with fire, burning down the systems that perpetuate injustice. And you'll see that in the Bible. All across the Bible, from start to finish. And if we have eyes to see, we might find that same narrative written in our own lives as well. Pentecost continues with the pouring out of the Holy Spirit upon all flesh, male and female, young and old, wealthy and impoverished, people from every nation under heaven. Pentecost enables all of us to know God intimately, personally, that all of us might speak the words of God, that all of us might see visions of the kingdom of God, that all of us might dream the dreams of God. And when we do that, some people may not understand. Some people may disagree or be challenged or frightened by the things that we say and do. They may sneer at us and think us foolish. And that's okay. It goes with the territory. In fact, if we really do our jobs well, we will know it because we will face opposition, persecution, crucifixion. The invitation of Jesus is to take up our crosses, to follow Jesus, and to discover that in that path, right through that path of crucifixion, lies something far better than we have ever known before. In that path lies the kingdom of God. Pentecost. Pentecost is a holy day, a feast day, a celebratory parade. We may not celebrate it this year in quite the way that we had hoped to, but we're celebrating it nonetheless. On Pentecost, God's Holy Spirit comes down with a violent wind and fire, changing hearts and changing minds. The experience of meeting God is always challenging, always humbling, always terrifying. It's a milestone in each of our journeys of faith, and every time we encounter it, our lives will be forever changed. Amen.